Good evening. I would like to continue my series on the year of virtue this evening with the virtue of love. After all, what better virtue of them all to preach on than love? If we consider the worldly view on love, how it's disrespected and it's even slighted in many cases, it's easy for one to become discouraged when they consider love, but only from a worldly perspective. This evening, I would like to ask, what does the Bible say about love? And I would like to begin by considering God's love and the fact that His love is for all of us. Unlike from a worldly perspective, we should not fall out of love when we're not happy with God's decisions towards us. Rather than that, we must always allow our love to grow and mature as we do. We can see in Jeremiah chapter 29, please turn with me, Jeremiah 29, a demonstration of God's love for His own people. And I will be reading verses 10 through 14. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. Now, even with a very, very shallow look at the Old Testament, one of the common themes is Israel repeatedly turning its back towards God, God remembering His own and wishing for them to return and enjoy the relationship they had with Him in the past. The important point here to remember is that God's promises from the very beginning have always been kept. And speaking of those promises, please turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. And let's briefly consider God's love towards us today. 1 John 4, 7 through 12. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us. God shown His love towards all of humanity from the very beginning of time, and continues to do so until the end of time itself. As we've discussed in Romans during the Wednesday night classes, it was stated, and I certainly believe this to be true, that God's decision to send Jesus to the earth to be sacrificed for our sins was not just a fleeting action that He committed, This was a decision that was calculated, that was prepared from the very beginning of time. And it is this very same God that created us, has given us the opportunity, even free will, to make our own decisions, to come towards Him, if we so choose to, so that we can have the hope of eternity with Him. And that is love. A second example of love through the Bible is shown in love through doing His will. Now, we should not expect God to give us a very easy life simply because we are Christians. We should not ask God to keep evil away from us and keep temptation from us. We must strive, we must work as hard as we can to grow and mature as Christians and to make our love towards God work. An example of remaining pure, and for those who did not remain pure, I would like for us to turn, please, to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy 4, 25 through 31. When you beget children and grandchildren, and have grown old in the land, and act corruptly, and make a carved image in the form of anything, and do evil in the sight of the Lord your God to provoke Him to anger, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day, that you will soon utterly perish from the land which you cross over the Jordan to possess it. You will not prolong your days in it, but will be utterly destroyed. And the Lord will scatter you among the peoples, and you will be left few in number among the nations where the Lord will drive you. And there you will serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see, nor hear, nor eat, nor smell. But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find Him if you seek Him with all your heart and with all your soul. When you are in distress, and all these things come upon you in the latter days, when you turn to the Lord your God and obey His voice, for the Lord your God is a merciful God, He will not forsake you, nor destroy you, nor forget the covenant of your fathers, which He swore to them. For ask now concerning the days that are past, which were before you since the day that God created man on the earth, and ask from one end of heaven to the other whether any great thing has happened or anything like this has been heard. God is giving the warning to His own people of the dangers of the Gentiles. God realized the dangers that the Gentiles had towards His own people, and He very seriously gives this warning towards them. However, it was entirely up to the Israelites themselves whether they decided to heed God's warning. We all know what happened when they didn't. However, simply heeding God's warnings were not enough. We also see several times in the Old Testament, and even in the New, of many who had to work to earn God's promises as well. Examples of Abraham, Noah, David, Hannah, Esther, Ruth. God indeed gave His promises to those men and women after they shown their faith and obedience towards God. And speaking of work, let's consider briefly the work that Jesus did in John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verses 14 through 18. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore, my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. And Jesus Christ indeed shown his work by sacrificing himself for all of humanity so that we can have salvation, and not just for his own sheep indeed, but for all sheep. And not only that, he's shown his work and that he has protected, he is protection on those who decide to be his sheep. Jesus realized his role in the plan of salvation, and he followed it perfectly. From the very beginning of time, Jesus, after witnessing the earth and how the Israelites and even the Gentiles were living, realized mankind's sinful state, lived a sinless life himself, allowed himself to be sacrificed, and yet he indeed was resurrected on the third day to confirm his authority and God's awesome might. And that is love. Third, I would like to show that by doing God's will, we ourselves grow. Claiming to be one of his own is not enough. We cannot expect other people to do all the work as Christians. Each and every one of us can grow and always should grow. Please turn to Psalm chapter 119. Psalm 119, be reading verses 97 through 104. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgment, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. So how does one better themselves? Well, as read here in Psalm 119, we see the beauty of the scripture. We improve our lives day by day by obtaining scriptural wisdom, and the blessings are immense. After all, elsewhere in Psalm chapter 1, David considers such a person blessed. However, knowledge of God's word is not enough. We see here the passage in the psalm is written in present tense. This implies that David did feel this way regularly. However, we know that he did not always feel this way. Speaking of, let's consider Solomon briefly. Known as the wisest man, as David's son, it's pretty clear that he knew the law. However, he chose to follow his own desires. On the other hand, I also feel that Ecclesiastes towards the end implies that he in fact did return to God before his life was over. Now, speaking of improving our lives from scriptural wisdom, we do not have to follow Solomon's path through sin. We do not have to let our sinful desires take advantage of us. We can learn from what he has written and make sure that we do not make the same mistakes that he did. After all, what good is Scripture for any of us if we do not use it to improve our own lives? Speaking of improving our lives, please turn to Isaiah chapter 11. I'd like to show one way that through the Scripture, our lives can be improved. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 through... Give me just a minute to turn here. Verse 1 through about halfway to the end of verse 3. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of its roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his own eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. Now, we know that this is actually prophesying towards Jesus and the gifts of the Holy Spirit towards him. However, we have many of the similar gifts ourselves. Perhaps when we consider all of the blessings that God and Jesus give us, we may not consider everything that the Holy Spirit does for us. Even in the New Testament, we see all of the miracles that the apostles performed, especially in Acts. And these were performed by the Holy Spirit, confirming their own apostolic authority in their attempts to lead towards Jesus Christ and eventually towards God. Now, we are not given the same gifts that the apostles had. That does not mean that we should discount the gifts that we do have through the Holy Spirit. Consider, for most of us in here, we have already been baptized. Remember, after we are baptized, that zeal we felt, the desire to learn as much as we possibly could, so that we could desire to serve the Lord further? Do you remember that encouragement to grow and improve? Well, hopefully we still feel that way. But all of these are through the Holy Spirit encouraging us to be better Christians. And not only that, the Holy Spirit has given us spiritual wisdom and understanding if we decide to use it. And all of these gifts the Holy Spirit freely gives to all who are of God. And that is love. Fourth, as we grow, we learn to value our own fellow man, and we want to show our love for them. We've just discussed the importance of bettering yourself. However, what good is improving yourself and growing if we do not share that with others? After all, true love is shown in each party therein pooling their strengths together and benefiting not only ourselves, but those around us. We just read Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. I would like to consider a few other gifts that the Holy Spirit has given us. The first of which is as a counselor. We should feel this urge through the Holy Spirit to speak to others. After all, it's what encourages us to stand up here and preach, to teach, to talk to others, to share what we know with those around us. In considering this, it is true to say that the Holy Spirit prepares and encourages our growth in every step of our lives as Christians. And not only that, we should be fearful of those who... Let me rephrase that. We should feel for those who are of the world and the fear that they should have. All the same time, though, for those of us who are Christians, we should enjoy the glorious gifts that we are given simply by living godly lives. And as we understand just how awesome our God really is, how can we not share what we know with those around us? I asked for James chapter 3, verse 1 to be read as a scripture reading, and I did so especially for my own benefit. And I'd like to read it once more. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. I asked this to be read so that whenever I got up here, I would be reminded of just how serious it is. Every time we get up here and speak, it should always be with the reverence towards God and with as much effort as we possibly can to make sure that everything is done in an acceptable manner. This verse may seem a little discouraging at first glance. However, should those of us who stand up be discouraged? Absolutely not. However, we should always remember just how serious this is. So, having said that and discussing how important it is, why do we volunteer in teaching God's word, in preaching, in the leading of singing, in Lord's Supper talks, in prayers, in any presentation that we give when given the opportunity? The reason is simple. Because everyone who stands up and does so loves you. After all, if those of us who preach just simply did it for the money, why would we study as hard as we can to be prepared? Why would we preach here when we can easily make money in other places? We could tell simple stories. We could make sure that you only feel good as opposed to actually studying further and encouraging spiritual growth towards everyone. But if we were to do so, how could that help each of us grow as Christians? And how can that encourage this congregation to worship in an acceptable manner, not only now, but going forward? So, what are other ways that we can show our love? Rather than getting up here and presenting material, for every time we visit those who are sick, every time we call, give them flowers, pray for them, or even visiting those in the nursing homes, we do so because we love God's own. They may be missing physically, but they are not missing spiritually, nor are they missing in our hearts. Why do we talk to other people about God's word? We do so because we love our fellow man, and we want them to share in the hope of heaven for all of eternity that we have the blessings of. And by doing all of these things, we show that we love God. There's one final passage of scripture I'd like for us to turn to in John chapter 3. And one final way to show that we love God. And this is the most important. John chapter 3, starting in verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." One final way that we can show that we love God is through baptized. When we are baptized, we are baptized into the water and into the Holy Spirit. And as such, to reject baptism is to reject the Holy Spirit proper. Considering everything that God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit do every day to show their love towards us, we should strive every day to be better Christians, to encourage one another, to be better Christians, and to encourage this congregation towards spiritual growth always. And finally, to lead others to Christ. That is love. And if you would like to show your love towards God this evening, or if you would like those among you who also love you to pray with you or for you, please step forward as we stand and sing.